It's time for Wisconsin Life. Richard Davis is known around the world as one of the best jazz musicians on the planet. Dean Robbins has been a fan for years, and ahead of this weekend's Isthmus Jazz Festival, recalls what drew him to Davis's sound.
Wisconsin isn't the jazz capital of the world, but we do have one thing New York City doesn't have. He's Richard Davis, bass player extraordinaire. Davis has lived in the Madison area since the 1970s, when the University of Wisconsin lured him away from full-time performing to be a professor. He grew up in the Chicago ghetto, strumming on a broom before he got his first bass. He immersed himself in old recordings by Louis Armstrong and other jazz greats that he found in downtown record shops. These self-directed listening sessions would be the foundation of his musical career. Davis's first break came in 1957, when the renowned vocalist Sarah Vaughan hired him as her bass player. But he took a left turn with his next job, partnering with the avant-garde saxophonist Eric Dolphy. I first heard Davis on an edgy Dolphy album called Out to Lunch. The bassist isn't usually the guy who catches your attention, but this one made his presence known. He leaped out of the speakers with booming double stops, expressive glissandos, and soulful bowing. After noting Richard Davis's name on the album jacket, I started seeing it everywhere. There he was, setting the mood on Van Morrison's melancholy pop masterpiece, Astral Weeks.
Well, I'm caught one more time. Up on Cypress Avenue.
There he was, laying down a suave rhythm behind Frank Sinatra and Barbara Streisand. He even turned up in orchestral settings, playing under conductors like Leonard Bernstein.
We're going to play for you this fascinating new piece called Improvisations for Orchestra and Jazz Soloists.
Then I moved to Madison and discovered Davis here. It was a thrill to see a musician of his stature playing around town, from concert halls to humble bars. I felt like I'd stumbled into jazz heaven, even though I was 1,000 miles away from New York City. In fact, I saw one of my most memorable Richard Davis shows on a trip to New York. He often headlined there during semester breaks from the university, and I caught him one night at the Village Vanguard. A framed picture of him hung on the club's wall, right near one of Louis Armstrong, the musician he'd idolized as a boy. Davis played with fire that night. With his fluid time and aggressive pizzicato style, he made every chorus an adventure. I watched Davis greeting people in the crowd, including a woman who asked him for directions to Madison, something you wouldn't expect in the middle of Greenwich Village. But the more I thought about the exchange, the more it made sense. Of course anyone interested in the jazz bass would need directions to Madison, because Richard Davis has single-handedly made Madison the jazz bass capital of the world.
Dean Robbins is a writer based in Madison. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org.
Staying with Wisconsin's jazz scene, this Saturday you can catch our next guest performing at the Isthmus Jazz Festival at the UW-Madison Memorial Union Terrace.
Joining us now in the studio is Tony Castaneda, the band leader for the Tony Castaneda Latin Jazz Band. Tony, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me here, you guys.
Well, tell us how you first got started playing Latin jazz.
Back in the early 70s, I guess, growing up, I had an older brother who had, used to listen to a lot of rock, and of course Santana, but of course Jimi Hendrix and Zeppelin and all those other people. And one of my older brothers had a Cal Jader album, Soul Sauce album, and he used to play it. And he first got turned on to it at that time. And that album is a classic album, and that's kind of how I got started. Then I started playing when I moved to Madison in 74. I hooked up with some guys, and we formed a group called Olmeca, which was Madison's first Latin jazz rock band. This was 1977, 78. And they needed a bass player. And I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll pick up a bass. So I was going to borrow a bass from a bass playing friend of mine. And instead, I said, nah, why don't you just come to the rehearsal? And I went, and their conga player was unavailable and couldn't play because he was working at work conflict. So I just started playing conga at the time. And I, with them, and I had an old conga that I used to, you know, beat up on playing along with Santana albums and stuff like that. But that's how I started playing with that band.
You've been a percussionist ever since, and that was based, your musical career was based in part on who didn't show up at practice.
That happened. But actually, when I was a little kid, though, I should go way back, though, to the 60s. My uncle, Nacio, played in a Latin band, a Latin ensemble, back in the 50s and 60s in Racine, Milwaukee area. And he was a self-taught musician. He played saxophone, trumpet, guitar, piano. He had a drum set in his basement, all that. And he tried to get me and my brothers hooked on that. And he actually bought me my first trumpet, and I stuck with it. And that was my first instrument, was trumpet, like in fifth grade. And I used to play in a marching band and kind of an orchestra band. And, you know, I eventually played a bugle in a drum and bugle corps, like when I was in eighth and ninth grade. I actually got to play at the Cotton Bowl in Dallas for Nationals, so I played at the Cotton Bowl.
So a long string of experiences with music, but now you've settled on the percussion. You're the band leader as well. Is the percussion part of that more important in Latin jazz, would you say?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the heart. That's the soul of it. The Afro-Cuban beat, the rhythm, the instruments, I mean, that's what drives Latin jazz especially. And that's what, you know, when you go back to the history of what became Latin jazz, you talk to Tito Puente and those guys, and they're like, well, yeah, they had their Latin music, and then right around the block in New York would be the jazz clubs. And when there was a break, the musicians from the Latin clubs would walk over to the jazz clubs, and they'd play and sit in, and then the jazz guys would come over there, and they've had that marriage ever since. So, yeah.
Talking to Tony Castaneda, band leader here in Wisconsin, about playing Latin jazz here in the state. So Latin music, a lot of different traditions, not just one thing. Jazz music, a lot of different traditions. So how does it all get woven together to become something we'd call Latin jazz?
Well, like I said, it went back to way back in those days. And people like Tito Puente were some of the first to bring these people together. Mongo Santa Maria, Cal Jader, of course, is a big name on that, and my band does probably two sets of Cal Jader music. It's been there for a long time, and it's separate than regular jazz, and it's separate than Latin music and a lot of the traditional Latin music too. But that marriage there is very essential, and it's like I said, it's been around for a long time.
So you've been playing for a long time. Your band has been around for a long time. How has it changed over the years? What would you say you're moving into now?
Well, in 98, we formed the Tony Castaneda, the Latin Jazz. It was a trio at the time. Dave Stoller, he's been playing in Madison for a long time on keyboards, and Henry Baim on bass. We grew from that period, and got a flute player, then we got a timbale player, then we got a sax player. So we've been quartet, quintet, sextet, septet at times, and sometimes even bigger when we have, bring up special guest musicians with us. So since 98, we've been playing. We've been honored to be voted Madison's top jazz band since 2000 all the way up to 2015. We missed one year there. I don't know what happened. It's good.
Well, let's talk about doing this in Wisconsin. You were first, you said, back in the 70s. Was there a hunger for music that brought together Latin influences and jazz? Were people wanting to see this?
Obviously, because now in Madison itself, at that time we were the only and first Latin jazz rock band, I guess, because we were more kind of rocky. In more ways than one. Now there's at least 20 bands, Latin influence bands in Madison, Mari Salsa, Grupo Candela, Son Contrabando, all these great bands playing different genres of Latin jazz. Some are playing salsa, some are playing more jazz oriented stuff. So, yeah.
How would you describe the jazz scene and Latin jazz scene in Madison? Is Madison, does it have a thriving scene today?
I say Madison has a good jazz scene, and I can't speak for the rest of the state, but we've got a lot of clubs, actually a lot more clubs to play than we did in a lot of other places also. So I think it's good, and one of the best things about it is that you're seeing a lot of high school jazz bands starting up, or that have been playing for a while. Sun Prairie has a great jazz band. East High School has a great jazz band, and they're getting us older musicians are presenting these people. We're bringing them out to some of the festivals, and the Madison Jazz Consortium is introducing jazz, and it's cool. It's part of the regular high school band thing.
All right. Well, Tony, thanks a lot for coming in and sharing
your
experience.
And thanks. And I want to make sure that everybody gets to the Isthmus Jazz Festival. We are actually going to be hopefully playing. We're working on some Ornette Coleman tunes.
Ooh, in tribute.
That we're going to, yes, in tribute to Ornette Coleman. It's going to be hard to translate those. So thank you very much.
Tony Castaneda, Madison-based jazz musician.
Out with his music here on Central Time.